I haven't lost my voice, it's all right. To be honest, I don't really know where to start this morning. And I know what I'd like to say, but I just don't know where to start because I don't think God wants us to have lots of words this morning. And last week, Pastor Colin outlined the call of kingdom faith. And then with those six words, people of faith, people of love, people of holiness, people of worship, people of prayer, and people of power. And he said, that's the call on kingdom faith. And then he said, and the vision is to fulfill the call. And I don't know about you guys, but I've been totally challenged this week because of the week before last Sunday, but also what was said last Sunday. And then yesterday, we had a training day, and if you weren't here, you just get the set of CDs. And if you can't afford them, ask somebody else to buy them for you or ask the resources to give you a set or something. I don't care, to be honest, whether we make any money out of that or not. But I think if you can get hold of what was said yesterday and what God did yesterday, it would completely change us as a church. It was just God's heart for people. It was nothing to do with having a ministry to the poor and the needy and just having a bit of ministry to a few people. It was just God's heart for people, for the lost and for what he wants to do. And it just fitted so hand in glove with what was said last Sunday about being a people of faith, being a people of love, being a people of holiness. And at the end of the second session yesterday before lunch, the guy who was just speaking opened it up and just said, if you want to respond or pray out, then just feel free. And people just started to pray out and cry out to God. And it was just one of those things. Nobody led it. People just not praying prayers of, you know, God, would you do this? Or God, would you do that? It was a, you know, God, do something in my heart, change my heart, break my heart. You know, there are a few other prayers that came in here and there, but it was just a cry. During some of the teaching, there was all interwoven with it. It wasn't just about get out there and reach the lost. It was God's purpose for the church, the kind of church that he's called us to be. And it wasn't just about having a bit of ministry here and there. It was part of the call of the church is to be so in the world that we are the body of people that is meeting all the needs out there because we have the power of God, because we have the life of God, because we have the compassion of God, because we have the grace of God, because that's why Jesus came. And the seeking God, the holiness, the encountering with God, integral into being a holy people that are going to change a society in that way. And you know, we can talk about all the stuff God wants to do this year and everything, but I just, to be honest, since yesterday afternoon, I've just felt winded inside, you know. And I spent hours praying last night up until whatever time, just praying, and 1 minute seeking the Lord and meeting with God changed my mind. The next minute, God, what do you want to do tomorrow morning? We ended up going to bed at some time. Got up early and was praying, and you know, I've written some things down and everything, but God wants our hearts. He doesn't just want to fill us with more information, more vision, and more this, that, and the other. He just wants our hearts. If he has our hearts, he'll have our lives. And if he has our hearts, then we really don't care what it will cost or what it might mean. You know, if he has our hearts, we kind of leave preference behind, or we put it second to what God's doing in our hearts, you know. And the more God is emphasizing the need to move out as a church, the more he wants to break us as a people, that our hearts are broken. In James 1:27, there was a verse yesterday, and you can look at this as a ministry verse and all that sort of thing, but You know this verse well. Well, let's verse 26 first. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. But then look at the rest of the verse. And to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, that's what Pastor Colin was talking about last week. The spirit of this age is not just coming against the world, but the church, and wanting to infiltrate the church. And that's why God has called us to be a people of holiness. But the first part of that verse, religion that God our Father accepts is as pure and faultless. It's to look after orphans and widows in their distress. In Acts chapter 6, you know, when the church was kind of growing and the apostles were obviously pretty busy with all the stuff they were doing, some of the widows were getting missed out in the distribution of food, and they said, we need to give this responsibility, this area of the life of the church, we need to give this over to seven other guys who can oversee it. It wasn't just down to those seven blokes to meet all the needs, but they were overseeing what was going on. There must have been a lot of people involved in the distribution of whether it was food or clothes or whatever it might have been. And it's interesting how that comes right at the beginning of the church. And the apostles, who we would all say were the key guys, they were obviously doing that. It was so important in the early church to look after all the orphans, the widows, the poor and the needy, and to meet all those respective needs, that the apostles were actually doing that. And then they obviously began to oversee that, but then they got to the point where they say, haven't got time to oversee that now, so we need to raise up others to oversee that whole work, because it's increasing as we, as a church in Jerusalem, are reaching out and touching more and more people's lives. We're coming across more and more need, which needs more and more people to be involved in touching all those needs that are there. And because more and more people have come, we need to focus on the preaching of the word and to prayer, because there's more and more people that need the word, need discipling, need that input, and we need to pray because the church is growing, things are increasing. So let's raise up some others and give them that responsibility to oversee that whole dimension of the life of the church. But it wasn't a ministry. It was like part of the core of who the church was. And these guys, the apostles, they said, let's give responsibility to these. They can oversee it. And I've always wondered why. Because it says we haven't got time to wait on tables. And sometimes we can think, why did they need six guys full of faith, full of power, full of wisdom, full of grace, and all that kind of stuff, if it's just waiting on tables? And when you think the apostles were involved in what we might just see as a serving thing or just a bit of ministry, they saw that as integral into not just the life of the church, but turning the whole city upside down. And the gospel going right out into the Roman world and changing people's lives. It got the attention of people. It doesn't seem these days that words get the attention of people in the same way as actions do. I'm just kind of rambling, really. I'm not sticking to anything that I've written down here. But I think God wants our hearts today. There were six words used last week, faith being the first one. If we're going to see a nation change, we need to be a people of faith. But one of the things, and I was chatting to somebody the other night about this, one of the things that has been challenging me is, what exactly are you believing for? What are you believing for? you know, not just corporately, but personally. What are you personally believing for? So, I don't know, with you, this week, after last Sunday, for me, it just encapsulated what we're all about. We're not just a church to turn up on Sunday and have a group on Wednesday night. God's way of thinking about church is completely different to that. That's why he's after our hearts, because he's 24/7. But I came away, it's like, yeah, I'm a person of faith. I have a dynamic of faith. I'm believing God for the nation and all kinds of things around here. But it was like, when I get up in the morning and when I'm living through the day and through the situations, when I'm at home with my, you know, what am I actually believing for? What decisions do I make and what actions am I taking in my life outside of, say, my responsibilities relating to the church? But why do I make the decisions I do? Why do I go to the place I do? Who is it that I'm looking to touch and people's lives to be changed? Where am I actually applying faith in a specific way? And I'm making decisions because God has said something to me about that person or about that situation that I'm believing for to see change. So what faith is actually personally activated in my life that now I'm seeking to see God move and touch that life or change that situation because God has spoken to me about that? Because we can have a corporate faith and we can have a vision like was explained last week. And that's what we're going for, that's what we live for. But within that, what is your personal application of what God has said to you? Let's just talk about this year. What has God said to you personally about this year? What has he said? What do you have in your heart that is driving you, if we can use that word, for why you're living for what God wants to do this year? What has captured you in your heart? What is exciting you in your heart? What is it? What word has God spoken? What people has he talked about? What does he want to do through you? What is exciting you? What is motivating you? What inspires your faith? Because God has said something to you personally. What are you living with? What are you carrying? What are you running with? What inspires you? What comes out of your mouth when you talk to other people? What is there deep within you that you know God has said about this year, and you're saying, that's what I'm going for, that's what motivates, that's what inspires me? Otherwise, we just go through the humdrum of our everyday life. We know God wants to use us in every setting of our life, whatever it is. But what do you know God has said to you? Have you actually given any time, any space to say, God, what do you want to do in my life in 2006? What do you want to do through me in 2006? Father, I'm part of this church. I heard the call and the vision is to fulfill that call. God, I was here. I heard it. What are you saying to me in the context of that? God, I want you to speak to me right into my heart. I don't just want to be taken along by the corporate momentum and wave of what's going on. God, I want my heart to be totally engaged with what you're saying to me and what I'm doing, what I'm believing for, what I'm seeking to see happen as part of this big thing that you're doing. Second thing was love. In John 13, it talks about the world knowing that we're his disciples because of the love that is amongst us. It was funny. I was sitting there last Sunday when Pastor Colin was speaking and he was talking about love. And, you know, it's easy to be really preferential, isn't it? Who you like and who you love and who you do and don't like, that kind of thing. And I was sitting there and he was speaking about love. And I said, God, I can't be preferential. I'm supposed to love everybody. We all are. Exactly. But, you know, it's easy for us to maybe not get on with somebody, or there's certain people that rub you up the wrong way, or you don't click with, or you don't particularly get on with, or you have a different, you know, you just keep your distance. It's kind of not something you constantly think about, but it's just there. And I was sitting there thinking, man, I can't do that. I know we all can't, but I'm thinking, I'm supposed to love everybody. I have to be nice to everybody. I have to say hello to everybody. I can't have anybody that I'm kind of, I like you more than them. And as I was sitting there, it was like God said, it's got nothing to do with what you do. And as I was sitting there, God said to me, what would it be like if you lived inside every person? Let alone wanting to spend any time with somebody or go and have a chat with them. It was like God said, my love is so unconditional, so pure, that I actually want to live inside every person, no matter what they're like. That's my heart. That's my love. And I sat there and I said, well, God, I don't love people like that. You've got to work that in me, because I wouldn't want to live inside everybody. And we all think the same. But yet, actually, that is the love that we have in us. Because as we heard last week, we have a spirit of love. And therefore, there is the capability within us to love every single person. Yesterday, you know, sorry, it's quite, I don't know what you think about this morning, but I'm not bothered really. But yesterday was just, I don't know, just get the CDs. Don't listen to them in your car, all right, or going somewhere. Actually sit down and listen to them and then pray afterwards. They're not the sort of things just to shove on in the car and, all right, I've done that and gone to something else. It will require a response from you. But it will change you, you know. We'll have to get those guys back sometime and maybe we'll do, I don't know, in the autumn, we'll have 2 or 3 days with them. Holiness. It's another thing. Right heart, right motivation. Wrong heart, wrong motivation. That's why God wants our hearts. Right heart, right motivation. We can go through the list, but God just wants our hearts today. And there's all sorts of stuff we could talk about this year. I will say one thing, though, before we pray. We might even be finished by 11 o'clock, which would be the first, wouldn't it? We don't have communion every week, partly because of a time thing. But in the book of Acts, they had communion in their homes every day. When they met together, I don't think they had it in a big group very often. It definitely implies that they had it around the meal table and they didn't turn it into some religious thing that they did. And we've, as a family, I know some of you have communion regularly, some of you every day in your homes. In the last week or so, we've started to have communion. I think we pretty much had it every day by one, I think, in the last 7 or 8 days. And I was praying last Saturday night and God really began to start speaking to me about all the men in the church, and we'll probably come to that next Sunday. So all the women need to be here, right? Not just the blokes next Sunday. But one of the things God started talking about was communion and the fact that we as families or households, whoever you live with, that we need to actually break bread every day in our homes. And we need to take time to stop in our schedules, in all the stuff we do, and just to take 5 minutes, maybe sometimes it could be half an hour. I don't mean just go through it, right, this is our 10 minutes for the Lord. It might be 5 minutes one day at the meal table. Another day you might end up just going in your lounge and you pray and you worship and you have communion. It might take half an hour. Don't get into a set thing. But what is communion all about? What is it? What did it mean for the guys in the early church? It meant a lot because they saw Jesus crucified with their own eyes. And when they broke the bread and then they drank the wine, The power of that, it must have been incredible. Focusing their lives around the cross. The power of the cross. Around holiness and purity. And what the cross was all about. Forgiveness, salvation, freedom. In their various households or families, extended families, whatever they were then. Not just remembering Jesus, because Jesus said every time, you know, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in worship with me. Do this in building your life around me. And one of the things when the Lord was talking to me about that we need to do this in our homes is that as men, we need to take responsibility. And, you know, if you're going to spend time either with, if you're single and there's guys that you live with, or whether you're married, you haven't got kids yet, or whether you have got kids, whatever context, God wants us as men to begin to step up in our authority, in our leadership, and it starts in the home. And if you've got to sit your family down or people down every day, and not just go through the motions of a quick bit of bread and a quick, we've done it, that's not what it's about. You're bringing the people you live with, you're bringing your family before God, and you're saying, we want to take some time to meet with God now, and you need to be able to bring something to them. Focusing them on who he is, who Jesus is, what the cross is all about. I mean, Megan, she's only 5. She loves it, doesn't she? Every day, she says, when are we having a communion? Are we having a communion now then? And we sit down for dinner, are we having communion? Or are we having it afterwards? And she, if you ask her, she'll be able to tell you what the whole thing's about. What the bread represents. What the juice, what the blood does for you, and all this kind of stuff. And as blokes, you see, there's going to be zeal in the house of the Lord when the blokes stand up and begin to move in the authority and exercise the authority that we're called to live. There's certain things that will only happen in the church here when we as the blokes actually become more initiators, not just there but in everything. And to bring your family before the Lord and or the people you live with, praying together, bringing something from the word, it could be just some little thing, it doesn't have to be a massive great big preach, but just something to encourage your family. You pray for one another, you lay hands on one another, you prophesy over each other. You get your kids to pray and prophesy. See, what we've said to our kids, look, every time we have communion, the first thing we do is we'll just get our hearts right, make sure anything that we've done during today, we just get it cleaned up, get it sorted, wrong attitudes, wrong words, the way we've treated people. Imagine in a month's time what issues might not be happening that are going on now because we have short accounts, we're getting there before God and we just pray, inviting the Holy Spirit into our homes in a fresh way. See, one of the things that I felt is this is all to do with holiness. It's one thing preaching and we get before God, but we've got to live this out in practical terms. How do you help develop a holy life? Well, that's one way. Have communion. Take a few minutes. Deal with anything in your heart. Have the bread and the wine. Pray together. Encourage each other. Worship for a bit. I mean, Toby's the best singer in our family, isn't he? I mean, we sing songs and we sing the chorus in one key and the verse in another. You know, in our house. But who cares? You should hear the way Jane and me sing. Man. You would be crying out to the Lord after that. Anyway, we'll come on to the blokes next week, all right? That was just a little taster. All right, so you ready, blokes, lads, men, gentlemen? Do Just come ready to do business with God next week. Because we're going to have a few weeks, I think, where God wants to meet with us.
That's right.
And he wants to work in us.
That's right.
And we can talk about all sorts of stuff for this year, but God's, he'll do all that. He's just interested in our hearts at the moment and wanting to captivate us in a fresh way. And some of the stuff that was said yesterday, we just need to work through that and see how we build that into the life of the church. In terms of reaching out, because God is not talking about just a bit of evangelism and a bit of outreach, as we've been saying last year. Last year was a general kind of year of God stirring things afresh and just getting us a feeling, a flavour of where we're going. And this year God wants to begin to earth it. But right at the beginning of the year, he wants our hearts. If he's got our hearts, he'll have our decisions, he'll have our will, he'll have our actions, he'll have our home life, our work life, our school life. He'll have every part of us if he's got our hearts. Let's all stand up, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Let's just close our eyes. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God wants you to be sparking with faith this year because he's spoken to you. You know the verse in Matthew 16 when he asked Peter, who do you say I am? And he says, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You're the one. And basically Jesus says that you've received this by revelation. And then he says, your name is Peter, and da-da-da. He said, on this church, on this rock, I'll build my church. And he's obviously, we know he's not talking about he's going to build it on Peter. He had revelation of who Christ was. And it's on the revelation of who Christ is that he builds his church. And when God, how do you get revelation? You get revelation by God speaking to you. And when God speaks, faith is ignited. Faith is released because God speaks. And when faith's there, you begin to move and you begin to act upon that faith. And as you begin to act upon that faith, God begins to do stuff. And what does he do? He begins to build things. And so God builds on revelation, but with revelation, faith has to be working. And with faith, there's an action. One of the things that God has said to me about this year is that we're not to talk about growth. It's not all about growth. Because God, he said, if we build lives and build into people, yes, people will grow, things will grow.
Amen. That's right.
And that's why it's really important that each one of us has heard something from God for this year. What is the revelation that God has spoken to you about for this year? What does he put in your heart? Because as he reveals his purpose for you, as he speaks to you, as you take some time, it's not just a quick, well, I'll just kind of a quick word with the Lord, then okay, what do you want to do this year? God wants our hearts. As you engage your heart with him, begin to worship and just pray, genuinely say, God, I want to serve you this year. I want to walk with you this year. I want to see you work through my life this year. I want to know what's in your heart because I want your heart to touch my heart. I want your heart to change my heart. I want to surrender my heart and my will to you. So come and do whatever you want to do in me, but speak to me. Give me revelation about this year. Let me see something about this year that's going to spark faith so that I see something and that's what I'm believing for. That's what my heart is captivated with and captured with as part of this big corporate vision that you've given us as Kingdom Faith. Father, I want to be plugged right into that, not just in a corporate sense, but knowing I've heard something from you and that is where the faith is kind of just firing. And that's how I know I'm going to then apply and live and make decisions around that, because this is what you said to me this year. That's why revelation is so key, because when you have revelation, you see something. And with that revelation comes faith. With that faith, you can act. Now, we haven't got time to do that now. But what every one of us needs to do, if we haven't done this already, is this week, you need to actually just put in some time this week and decide when it might be. You might just decide, right, I'm going to get up early that morning. I'm just going to get in there with God, and that's the time. God, I want you to invade my heart. I want you to invade my whole being afresh. Speak to me, God. What do you want to do through me in my workplace? What do you want to do in my home situation? What do you want to do in the different areas of my life? God, what do you speak to me? I want your heart. I want to see something this year. I want faith to be ignited in me for this year, that I'm not just waiting for somebody else to trigger something or for the church to make something happen that then I'll buy into, or I'll step into and say, oh, at last something's happening or something. God, I want to be somebody that is helping to spark things. Be somebody that's helping with the momentum of things, because you've spoken to me and there's something in my heart that I'm running with, I'm believing for, as part of this call upon our lives to be a people of faith and a people of love and a people of holiness and all the other things. Father, I've heard something from you, and that helps every one of us to actually know that we belong and we're part of this thing. Because when God speaks, what he does when God speaks to you in the context of the corporate thing and how you personally are part of that, that helps you to be grafted right into what he's doing, because you've heard something personal from him.
Yes.
If we just live off the general vision, then you won't really get that real sense of, I'm really part of this thing. This is what is in my being. Whereas when you give time to God to speak, something happens in your heart, and it's like nobody can sway you, because you've heard God. You've had something put inside of your spirit, and you know that you know that you know that you know that was God, and that is it. And no matter what comes your way, people's words or opposition or circumstance, you know that's not going to be robbed, because it's in your spirit. Love, let's just take a few minutes to pray and just bring your heart before God and ask him right now just to invade your heart afresh with his love, so there is no preferences. God is after our hearts at the beginning of this year. And if there are relationships that are not right, then we have to put those things right. Be the initiator for healing. Be the initiator to restore. Just talk to him. You have God's heart of love in you already, because you have the spirit of love, like we heard last week. But it's moving all these other things out of the way. Preferences and various things like that, so that the love flows out of our lives unpreferenced and unblemished in that sense. Just thank him for a heart of love. Ask him to work in your heart in a fresh way right now. God, deal with my heart. Work in my heart. Father, where I have preferences, where there are people that I avoid or I don't particularly talk to because, for whatever reasons, God, I thank you for a love. I thank you for a compassion. Father, I have your love in me that says that you want to live inside every person because you want to make your home in every one of us. What a love that is. Father, I thank you that you have put that love inside of us. Father, work that in me in a fresh way. Work that in me, Father, your love, heart of love, eyes of love. When I look at people, there's a purity, there's just looking down into their lives with such love, with such compassion. No matter who they are, whatever their circumstance, whether it's somebody in the body here or somebody who's not saved yet, just with such love, with such eyes of compassion. Unpreference, Jesus. Not looking at the outward appearance like man does, but looking at what you look at, looking down into the heart. Without any judgment, without any condemnation, but just full of compassion, full of grace, full of mercy, wanting to reach out, wanting to touch, wanting to transform, wanting to change that person's life, Father. I thank you for that kind of love. A love that doesn't just invite friends around to my home, but love that invites people that are not easy, people that have issues and problems, people that need help, people that can't give anything back to me, people that aren't going to invite me around to their house. Just surrender your everything you have to him. Your house, your home, your cars, your possessions, everything. Because they all belong to him. If God has our hearts, he has everything. Your bank account, your money, everything. Just bring it under his lordship. Bring it under his lordship. It's his. It's his. Every good thing comes from him. And we have loads of good things in terms of the material side of stuff. But let's not protect it. We've got to be good stewards of it. But let's not protect it. I mean, we moved house a couple of months ago with the whole purpose of having people around. It wasn't just because we wanted a bigger house and more space for ourselves. It's like, God, we need more space because we want more people around. We want to have a place that's easy to have people around, whether it's a few, whether it's many. It cost me a heck of a lot more money. In terms of mortgage, heating, food. But yet there's something in my heart, in my wife's heart, where it's like, well, God, at the end of the day, we're not here for ourselves. We're here to touch other people's lives. And if that means I've got a bigger mortgage initially until we pay the thing off, so what? If that means we're spending half as much again a week on food, then okay. If that means we have to see you provide in some way, great. But thank you, Father, that as we give to people, we can't outgive you.
That's right.
As we invite people in that may not invite us back or can't at this moment or whatever, then you're not going to let us go short. You're going to provide somehow. See, that's where the faith comes in also to the everyday things that are in our hearts that God has put there. It's not just faith for a big project. It's trusting that as we use what we have, God will supply what we don't have. Somebody said yesterday, God doesn't look at what you don't have, he looks at what you do have. And as you use what you do have, then he'll supply what you don't have. Whether it's love for somebody or whether it's finances or whatever it might be. See, what is God trying to do at this time? He's trying to get us out of just thinking about our Christian life and about church in a certain way. He's getting hold of our hearts and our lives that everything we do is just geared to what he wants to do. It's like we don't compartmentalize stuff in our lives. That everything we do is geared around people. Every one of us, no matter who we are, all of us have to get up in the morning. All of us have work schedules. All of us have, especially if you've got kids, you've got stuff your kids are doing here and there and you're dropping them off here and there. And we all have all sorts of things going on in our lives, but at the same time, it's like we all can make the choice as to the basis on which our lives revolve. Now you might, I don't know, you might look at me and say, well, you're a pastor, and so maybe there's an expectation that, well, your house should be more open, or you should make more time for this, that, or the other, or whatever. Or you must have more time to do that or something. And I understand that we're all busy and we all have hectic schedules. But yet within all that, God is getting at our hearts that if we never make time, if we don't arrange our schedules and life around God's purpose, in a year's time, we'll all be sitting here saying the same kind of things as we are now. God has been saying last year, make space for me. Make room for me. Now we can do that corporately by having two meetings and having more chairs and space for new people to come. On Sundays, making it a people day and all that kind of thing. But in our everyday lives, in our homes, in our... And this is yesterday, during the day. The whole thing about Acts 2 and 4, where they said they were in and out of each other's homes. But it wasn't just the Christians in and out of each other's homes. It was like the people were so involved with people in the community in some way, friends, neighbours, all those different things, that everybody had like an open house. Now some people say, yeah, but I'm not called to do that. Why not? We all live somewhere and we all can have open homes. It's not a question of what whether we're called to that or not. That's just being super spiritual. If you have a home, it can be open for people to come. And this is where we've got to be open, because what God wants to do, there's no way it can be organized centrally. We can't organize stuff. There's certain things we can put in place as a framework, but what God wants to do through you and me, it can't be organized. There's a spontaneity that God is bringing because there's a spontaneity in our hearts. And out of the spontaneity of our hearts, the desire, the zeal, the love, because of what God has spoken to you about. Spontaneity, a sparking of things, because you can't help it. It's just something you want to do because that's what God's put in your heart to do. That's making room, making space. It might be a bit more inconvenient. Something was said yesterday, and we'll finish with this because of time. Mercy is messy. And the guy who was speaking gave a very quick illustration. He had a dream. And in this dream, he was in a room and he was watching what was going on. In this room, there were the different gifts out of the Bible. And there were the apostles and the prophets over in one area of this room, and they were strategizing about how to take the nations. And then in another part of the room, there were the evangelists and other guys, you know, how they're going to preach the gospel and all that, and the healers, you know, how they're going to preach the gospel and see the sick healed. And then in another part of the room, there were the administrators and the finance guys working out how to organize it all and, you know, how they're going to get the money for it all. And then other gifts around the place. And there was a pastor standing at the front of this room looking at his watch because he wanted to get the meeting going but couldn't because one of the gifts wasn't there. Then the gift of exhortation came along and said, come on, pastor, we need to start. We need to get going because it's gone time. Come on, we need to build the people up and everything. And the pastor said, no, we've got to wait because one of the gifts isn't here yet. And the exhortation was saying, no, come on, let's get going. We need to get going. And just as the pastor was about to start, he said that the doors banged open and the wind kind of blew in and all the leaves came in. And then in to the room came the gift of mercy. And in one hand he had an orphan, and around in the other arm he had a prostitute, and behind him was a drug addict, and the drug addict had his arm around an elderly person, and, you know, mercy came in, beaten, and obviously looked like he'd been through a lot. And while everybody else was in this room sorting out how we're going to do this, what we're going to do, and, you know, mercy was out there doing it. And mercy was late. Mercy wasn't on time. Mercy inconvenienced everything. It was like mercy showed up at the wrong time. You're late, mercy. But actually, mercy had been out doing the religion that is pure and faultless.
That's right.
And unless we allow God to come in and inconvenience our lives, we will not see what God wants to do. We don't want a consumeristic church. We don't want to make things so this, that and the other that people like it just because it's exciting or it's something or other. You know, they like the way the music is or the stages or the preaching's funny or all that sort of thing. I mean, that's all part of it, but God is wanting to build around you and me. He's wanting to build around us as people. He wants to build around what you and me do Monday to Saturday. He wants to build around what is happening in your home and through your family, through your marriage, through your friendships, through your individual life. He wants to build around that because you're the carrier. You're the one that bears fruit. You're the one that he's put his Holy Spirit in. We have a big manifestation here because there's loads of us that come together with the full of the Holy Spirit to praise God and all that. So faith is maybe in a greater lump, as it were, and we expect more to happen. But God doesn't want to build around the meetings. He wants to build around you. He wants to build around what he's put inside of you. Jesus said, you know, I will build my church. He didn't say, I will build the meeting place. He said, I'll build my church. And we are the church. We're the people. He says, I will build the church. I will build the people. That's us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just open up the front door of your house right now in your mind. God, I open the front door of where I live right now, and I open it for your purpose and for your will. God, it's not my house. It's yours. Everything I have is yours. My car, my vehicle, it's yours. I open up the doors. I give you the keys. Let my kitchen, my dining room, my lounge, my conservatory, or whatever you have at your house, Let my home be a place where people come and find healing, peace, security, hope, freedom, laughter, joy, happiness, deliverance, salvation. Amen. Let my home, let our house be the center of attention in the street that we live in. Let it be like a light set on a hill that everybody can see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. You want our hearts at this time. Father, I just pray that from this morning, every one of us would go away and continue just to allow you to work in us and do stuff in us. Father, I ask you that you would just speak to everybody. I've just rambled, Father, but you know how to really just do what you want to do in each one of our hearts. Father, I just pray that each one of us this week, it wouldn't just be a normal week, but we would find you just interrupting us. We would find you tugging at our hearts. We would just find you wanting to engage with our hearts in a fresh way. Father, we would just find our hearts changing this week and being more open and more available, more ready for all the stuff you're doing and want to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We could carry on, but we need to finish.